Welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Tappet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. And we have a guest. She's just going to stay with us for a few minutes. She's here working on a school project. Lauren.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm here from Daggett Montessori. It's a school in Fort Worth. And I'm doing a project on AIDS and the patient activism.
And Lauren had contacted me. When was it? Was that in January?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in January she came into my office. We talked a little bit. She had some questions for me. And guess what? She won!
Yay!
Go Lauren!
So congratulations.
She's going from local. She won the regional, and she's going to state.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the project.
Well, we're doing patient activism and AIDS. The theme for this history fair is a turning point in history, and my social studies teacher actually gave us this idea, and we thought it wasn't really a good topic, but then we thought about it, and our parents said it would take a lot of maturity, so we've had a lot of fun doing this project, and thank you for your help.
Oh, I love this. Now,
it's awesome.
You're what grade?
I'm in eighth grade.
Eighth grade. She's competing against high school students.
Wow. And you beat them.
You go, girls. I love this. What kind of questions did they ask? Because it almost caught me off guard, and her questions really made me think. Your topic is actually what?
Patient activism and AIDS.
And what her thesis was, and I hadn't thought about this, we all think about patient activism, right?
Mm-hmm.
It started with AIDS. When we had to go into hospitals and tell the nurses, no, you're going to take care of my friend. We were demanding that kind of care that we weren't getting.
We watched a lot of other documentaries on people, and they got themselves the medication. The government didn't just give it to them. They acted up, and they got it from themselves. So that's what we based our project on.
I love that.
That's exciting.
When are the statewides?
It's May 3rd and 4th in Austin.
Great. Good luck, and then if you win that one?
Either way, keep us posted.
Yes. Oh.
And then we go to nationals during the summer, I think.
Wonderful.
That's exciting.
That is really exciting.
Best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
So I told her, meet us here. One of the things they suggested was that they add in somebody with HIV into the project, and so she's here in the studio in the green room interviewing somebody to add into the project to bolster it up a little bit.
Awesome.
Lauren, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
I love that you're doing this. Please let me know how you do statewide, because I think you got it.
We're rooting for you.
We are.
Great job. We don't have a guest today.
We have Lauren.
We have Lauren. I'm not even thinking of her as a guest.
For a few minutes.
She's family. But we don't have a guest today, so we're just going to talk about several topics. And
Nothing's happened.
Yeah, I know.
A little something happened.
You know, one of the things, Lauren, you and I have been having a bet going.
Yes.
You were saying that same-sex marriage would pass in Rhode Island
first.
I was saying, no, it looks like it's a little bit ahead in
Illinois.
And what happened this week?
Colorado passed civil unions. So, in a way, we both lost.
We both lost.
Yep.
Interviewing? Yeah, go ahead, because Brian in there, he's very long-winded. You won't be done by the end of the hour. She needs, like, 5 minutes. It'll take another hour. Thank you so much,
Goodbye.
Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
Good luck.
We'll come rescue you after the show.
Yeah, we will.
She's so cute.
Anyway, Denver Post posted a picture, front page, and there's apparently this right-wing uproar about it because I don't think it's ever been done before, but front page, the Speaker of the Colorado House, when civil unions passed, gave a big kiss to his partner.
Mm-hmm.
Denver Post caught it.
Front page news.
And it was front page. Fox News is accusing them of many news organizations don't really care what their readers think. Really?
Yeah.
But, like, Fox, I guess, really doesn't care what their listeners... If you're conservative, this isn't exactly a newsflash, whether it's bashing tea parties, promoting President Obama, or promoting Obama. reporting on what he's doing is promoting him, I guess. Or undermining faith, old school journalists take every chance to show they have disdain for the right. So by posting a picture of the Speaker of the House kissing his partner is showing disdain for the right.
Upon the state legislature passing civil unions.
Right. They shouldn't have reported it because that's showing disdain for the right. But apparently, this is the first time a mainstream citywide newspaper has posted a picture on the front page, above the fold, main picture of somebody kissing his partner. Apparently.
I bet it's not, but
I'm trying to think. The Houston Chronicle, when Anise was elected, I don't think they posted a picture of Anise kissing her partner.
I think I saw a picture of them embracing, but not a kiss. So it might be the first. If you know different, call us. Call us, and he'll take the call.
Yeah. And I'll bring up Fox News later about what they didn't even put on their website.
Okay.
I couldn't find it.
Director of Newsroom Operations at the Denver Post defended the decision to run the photo, choosing editor cliche number 7. This is Fox talking. As editors, it's often our job to make difficult decisions. But a little analysis shows they knew the impact it would have, and they just didn't care. The headline on her first column read, "Mark Farandino, Kiss Photo Shows Truth No Matter How Objectionable." That was the headline on the first column. But that offended the pro-gay lobby, so the explanation of the offense offended. And the new headline became, "Picture of Mark Farandino kissing partner shows the truth, even if it offends some." I don't imagine that was the headline, because it's not what's showing on the headline of the paper.
The caption of the photo?
The headline in the paper. This is what Fox is reporting was the headline, is what they said. Mm-hmm. The headline is, "House OK's measure fulfilling, quote, a promise." And the promise was Democrats in Colorado campaigned on civil unions.
And it's further extraordinary because I believe Colorado has a DOMA.
They do have a
DOMA.
They
do, but it's not a super DOMA.
Right. No. It doesn't include civil unions. So I think it's really interesting that they ban marriage, but then the state comes back and passes civil unions. So, it's not like we would find in Texas, because Texans right now have no opportunity to say yes to civil unions. But Colorado
Texas
did.
Also, Texas, our super DOMA outlaws opposite-sex marriage, too, because the wording is that anything similar to exactly like marriage is not
similar or identical
to. The only thing identical to marriage is marriage.
Yep.
And what's even further extraordinary,
Annie is not married to her husband.
And we can thank Kelly Shackelford for that, because he crafted the language.
Good for him. I like when bigots are that bigoted.
What's even further extraordinary is that this is Colorado, and for those who don't know, this is almost a full circle. Back in the 90s, Colorado passed a bill, and I forgot the name. Amendment 2, that basically banned any protections for gay and lesbian citizens at any level.
So if Denver or Colorado Springs, heaven forbid Colorado Springs, but Pueblo or any other city in Colorado had passed a non-discrimination ordinance, that would be overturned by this.
That would be overturned. And this, of course, it was challenged, went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they overturned it. So, talk about what time
it
does.
Can't do that.
I just want to finish up with this Fox article. What does GLAAD do? What is their purpose?
They do media monitoring and education.
And education. But what are they actually monitoring? What do they not want on TV? What do they want shown?
And portrayals of LGBT people. Bigoted statements. And they work with the media in every level of it. We're talking about radio, television,
Fox's
film.
Here's Fox's take on that. And that's exactly what the left wants. The pro-gay group GLAAD, which aims to ban traditional marriage supporters from TV, makes it clear it looks to the media to propagandize. What people see in the media has a huge impact, and GLAAD ensures images of LGBT people and allies grow acceptance, understanding, and build support for equality. Well, yeah, but nobody's looking to ban pro-traditional marriage supporters. In fact, what they would like to ban is bigoted statements and people speaking like right-wing bigots, but they're not trying to ban supporters. You know, talk to me and talk about why you support same-sex or opposite-sex marriage only, but speak to me in respectable terms.
And use facts.
Don't say that children are in danger if they have same-sex parents.
Because
it's not true.
That's not a fact.
All studies show, actually, that children of same-sex parents do equally well.
Or better. If not better.
With the only studies that contradict that are the ones that show that children of same-sex parents do better.
Right.
You know, and most gay people don't really support that position. There's no reason that they would do necessarily better other than because most same-sex parents are a little bit older. You know, and if you put them up against same demographic, they tend to do the same. So anyway, that's that. It's so annoying. Okay, here was the news this week. Rob Portman, why don't you talk about this one? Because
I'll introduce it like this. It's been a longstanding opinion by a lot of us in the GLBT community that coming out is probably one of the most powerful weapons we have. And
I would call it a weapon, I thought an effective tool.
Okay, an effective tool to change the minds of those who oppose us. And this week, I think, was an example of that. Senator Rob Portman from Ohio, who was one of the original backers of DOMA back in the 90s, and a federal amendment to make marriage only between woman and one woman. He has reversed his position and said he now supports marriage equality because his son came out.
And you welcome that?
I welcome that. I don't think we need to, I'm not saying we need to start just applauding this guy and making a grand marshal of a gay parade, but I mean, that's...
That I'd like.
David would go there.
I'd go there in a second. Yeah, if he'll really... put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, but I think it's that what he did is what we ultimately want done.
Yes, but was it, let's say, you know, last month that his son came out to him, and so now he's about it? No, it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was 2 years since since then he's been through a vetting by the Republican nominee for president to be named vice president on the ticket. And supported things like a constitutional amendment to the United States Constitution to mm-hmm. ban same-sex mm-hmm. marriage, or marriage equality. He supports all of these anti-gay everythings, and so he said that, knowing that his son was gay.
Knowing that his
son
was
gay. Perhaps he felt differently.
But, you know, we've said on this very show, you know, it takes time for parents to come out themselves. So this was, I guess, a coming out process for him.
Okay, so we need to debate who hates this guy more, Patty or me.
I hate him. Well, let's just be it. I don't like him for different reasons than you don't like him.
That's true.
I don't like him either.
Here's my reason, Laurent, you ignorant slut.
That's daddy slut.
Here's why I don't like him. To me, this is a clear example of when I was asking for my rights, he said no. When he's affected in his family, oh, that's different. This is going to affect my son. Oh, okay, I'm for same-sex marriage. Well, you know, Annie, you need to put your finger on that bleep button because that's how I feel about this guy. You know, he wants these rights now because it's for his son, and he's still saying, as far as I'm concerned, This isn't about you. This is about my son. This is about me getting what I deserve for mine. You want another example of that? Dick Cheney.
Oh, yeah.
Dick Cheney cares about gay people? No. But he wants his daughter to have.
Yes.
So on this one thing, yeah, he should be able to have same-sex marriage for his kid. In the debates with, who was he debating?
No, Edwards.
With Edwards, and Edwards congratulated him on his position that they have. Oh, how dare you mention that my daughter's gay? I thought you're for same-sex marriage, and you support your daughter. What are you embarrassed that you're actually embarrassed that she's gay, but you really do support her? What did Edwards ever say that was so terrible?
Congratulations.
He said, I agree with your position on that. And I like that you have supported your daughter who is a lesbian.
Okay, here's the...
Here's the flip side.
I think it's important, though, to note that when we talk about Dick Cheney and perhaps Portman, too, that underway simultaneously, under all of that, going on at the same time, was a major attack on LGBT Americans.
Repeatedly trying to add
but amendments.
But does Ron even understand that? No!
Yeah.
And we need to take a break.
Okay, yes.
We're going to get back to this debate and not let LaRon get in a word today because he has taken absolutely the wrong position. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with LaRon Landis and the late Patty Fink. And Annie, take it away.
Jim Hightower has moved to be a part of KNON's Speak Up Saturday. Jim Hightower's segments can now be heard at the start of each of KNON's great talk programming starting at 7 a.m. with Reverend Marion Barnett's show, Church Information and Open Forum, with the news and talk of South Dallas. Then at 9, the CWA presents Workers' Beat with the news and talk of the unions hosted by Gene Lance and Bonnie Mathias. At 10, the Dallas Observer presents Get Off My Lawn with Jim Schutz, bringing you the other side of Dallas news. Finishing up, Speak Up Saturdays at 11 is Lambda Weekly with the news and talk of the LGBTQ community, hosted by David Taffet, Patty Fink, and LaRon Landis. Now starting at each of these shows is Jim Hightower's insightful segment at 7. 8, 9, 10, and 11 a.m. each and every Saturday morning right here on the Voice of the People, KNON 89.3 FM. Would you help a
lot of time? This is Sonny Boy Mark, and I'd like to take a minute here to tell you about over 60 minutes of great blues listening available now on KNON's Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 Blues CD. This is some great stuff, folks. 15 tracks from Two Tones, Blues Boy Bo, Buddy Whittington, Andrea Dawson, Kirkland James, Sonny Colley, Johnny Red and the Roosters, the Chris Watson Band, the Rough Cut Blues Band, Jeff Stone with Charlie Love, David Millsap, Sir Loin and the Ass Kicking Machine, Michael J. and the Paul Bird Band, and JJ and the Detonators. The 1,000 copies we made are selling fast, and we won't reissue it. Get yours now at Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, and in Dallas at Bill's Records and Rewind Music. The CD is available as a download at cdbaby.com. All proceeds benefit KNON, sponsored by Forever Young Records. Vinyl copies available at Forever Young Records only. For more info on Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, visit KNON.org. Your ears been bending for some blues? Well, feed them the real thing with Texas Blues Radio Volume 5.
Hi, I'm Ecta from Utah, Dallas, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly.
Lambda Weekly.
And I'm here in the studio with Juan Wendis and the late Patty Fink. We're talking
about Rob. But now I'm going to get my spill. We're talking about the Senator Rob Portman from Ohio, who has reversed his position on same-sex marriage because his son came out. My question is, what would you rather he have done? Would it have been better if he had done the thing like Alan Keyes, for those who know, who was a former presidential candidate? When his daughter came out as a lesbian, not only did he call her hedonistic, he disowned her.
So he kicked her out of the house.
Take one. Which one would you rather
Karl
he have done?
Karl Rove and his father, his late father.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Rove was raised by two gay dads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that didn't come out until
he did his book.
Yeah, after the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
Or after he was gone from the Bush administration.
And then we have Oral Roberts' son.
Grandson. Well, his son who committed suicide. Who is gay, and Randy, who's his grandson, who's the nephew of the one who committed suicide, Oral Roberts' grandson, who's openly gay. And
has been on the show.
Yeah, and Randy, you know, is regularly working against that right wing. And when he goes to speak, he can really speak their language. He's a wonderful spokesperson for it. But his mother basically has disowned him, too.
Yeah. So, I would rather take Senator, even though it took 2 years, Senator Portman's position than to do what Alan Keyes did.
And I think we're agreeing on that one.
Yes.
I'd rather have a parent who who accepts their child rather than one who rejects
it. And obviously, in those 2 years, I'm sure his son, I'm sure when he first told his, when his son first told him, it wasn't like, oh, great, you know. I'm sure it took a while for them to talk, have probably multiple discussions about it. I can attest to that. It takes time to get your parent to understand, hey, look, I'm just like you, and I want to
stay. And I agree in most cases that, yes, that's what you do want a parent to do, to come around. But what bothers me in this case in particular is that he's an elected official.
And that's the difference.
As far as I'm concerned, is in a position to legislate, and here he is legislating when he can benefit from it and not legislating when you and I can benefit from it. That's what bothers me.
And I'm also in agreement that I think it's great that they finally arrive. That's very much. So we're all in agreement about that.
Yes.
I am thoroughly disgusted that this is what it takes in the Republican Party and the hardline fundamentalist conservatives over on the far right. This is what it takes for them to get it. You know, that it has to be this. And so, you know, that people in their own families. And so what it demonstrates to me is that people who hold these hardline anti-LGBT positions have zero capacity for empathy. So let me just define empathy here. We've got a couple of definitions here. The intellectual identification with or vicarious experiencing of the feelings, thoughts, and attitudes of another. So they really have no intellectual capacity or will, or both, to vicariously experience or imagine what it would be like to be another person who's not exactly like them.
In other words,
they have
like,
no capacity for that.
I don't have to have, obviously I can't get uterine cancer, but in order for, I shouldn't have to have that to say, okay, there needs to be some funds or some medicine to help a woman who does.
Basic understanding that this is a difficult thing.
Foundation exactly. Was first founded here in Dallas. There were a number of us who, I'd like to walk too. Oh, no, this isn't for you. And then they wanted my money. It was like, I'm supporting you, but you just want my money. You know, it's like, yeah, breast cancer affects me too.
Yeah, it does.
I have friends with breast cancer. I want that cured.
Yeah.
They changed their position when they realized how they were being so offensive. It's that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's exactly that, because it's not just about LGBT people. So it's about people of color, it's about minorities in terms of social status, economic status. They don't understand poor people. We saw that in the election, you know, the whole 43% thing, or 47%.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people they have no empathy with because they have no capacity for empathy. And so here's Rob Portman tooling along, voting anti-gay, and bam, he gets his kid's gay.
He gets slapped in the face with the news that his kid is gay.
So up until that point, he made zero effort to even think about what it would be like if one of his kids was gay.
One of the things... Well,
and suddenly, but now it is, that completely changed my mind.
In his editorial that he wrote in the Columbus Dispatch, he said he and his wife, it never occurred to them that their son was gay. This was completely shocking news, but they accepted him. That goes right to your point.
They never even thought about it.
Never even thought
about
it. There were no clues there ever.
So they never even think about what it might be like to be a young black man in America, or a young Hispanic female, or a woman who might be have been raped. Never really think it through.
Well, I,
you know, they really can't quite get there.
I think the operative word is think. I don't think they think at all.
Well, it's an intellectual capacity, and it's not there. They just have, or they have no will to exercise it. Because it's obvious when it happens to them that suddenly they are capable of the feelings that come from empathy, but they don't have any empathy because they can't reach out and think, what if I were in their shoes?
Right.
What if I were poor? What if I were poor and working and have no health insurance?
And
they can't think like that.
And once he was in their shoes, it took him 2 years to come around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because he had to make it weave into his political game.
I read several dozen articles about this. I finally found one. It was in the Atlantic. Who's on our side, Patty? Not on not on that slut Laurent's side. Okay, so here's one of the comments in this article. It's a long article in the Atlantic. Portman goes on to make the conservative an entirely reasonable case for gay marriage. Personal liberty means allowing folks to marry who they want without government interference. Marriage and family are stabilizing institutions, and more people, gay or straight, joining stabilizing institutions is a good thing. That, and that's the conservative argument for it. It doesn't even address equality. I mean, our argument on it is, it's none of your business whether I'm gay or not. Equality, equality, equality. That's our their argument, though, it has to do more with it's stabilizing families are good things. We agree with all those things, too. One thing Portman doesn't do, The Atlantic says, is explain why these conservative arguments seem reasonable to him now when they didn't have force before. Or rather, he does explain, but his explanation leaves most of the relevant moral issues hanging. Portman says he changed his mind because he looked at his son and wanted him to have a happy life. But the gay people to whom Portman was denying marriage before his conversation, those people were also somebody's sons and daughters. Does Portman only care about suffering when it occurs in his family?
Exactly.
And the answer is yes.
It's an resounding yes. It only makes sense, and it's heartfelt when it happens to somebody of their own.
This is somebody who does not belong in the Senate. The Senate is supposed to be passing laws that affect everybody.
And if you have no fundamental capacity to understand the plight of others and feel their suffering and their pain and what they need and what they might want in life, then you are going to vote against it all the time, and you're just going to treat them like objects, because that's what you've done. You've taken the humanity out of all the people around you because you can't relate to them. Literally. You cannot think, even imagine, what they might be feeling or thinking or going through.
Here's a writer. His name is Jonathan Chait, and here's what he writes about Portman. Portman ought to be able to recognize that even if he changed his mind on gay marriage owing to personal experience, the logic stands irrespective of it. Support for gay marriage would be right even if he didn't have a gay son. There's little sign that any such reasoning has crossed his mind.
It doesn't cross his mind. That's exactly it, the problem. And it's not just him. It's the entirety of the GOP.
Why should any of us come away from his conversation trusting that Portman is thinking on any issue what's good for all of us rather than what's good for himself?
Exactly. Does they think of themselves?
You know,
that's the whole 47% thing.
When I heard this, this is what came to my mind immediately, and I had to search for anybody who was saying these things.
It's unbelievable to me. And simultaneously now with this story is the whole CPAC fiasco, which is just a clown show, because they're all getting up there now.
And the CPAC is the
conservative political action committee thing that they do every year in Washington. It's an invitation to come speak at, among conservative voices. And, they've shunned Chris Christie this year, too.
Right.
Maybe a rational voice. But no, they got the loonies back in, and their whole conclusion...
Why? Because of how
he supported
Obama?
Yeah,
during
the storms.
Got
together and
the
hurricane.
He didn't support Obama.
No,
where his state was...
Underwater.
Underwater,
literally.
He needed the federal government to come in and give them some help. The federal government is headed by Obama. He and Obama got together. They toured some of the areas. Obama promised him help. And he said, you know what? Obama's doing a good job. Gee, he was honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got excluded.
So he got excluded.
Not invited. But the rest of them.
The best chance for the Republicans to win. If the election were held today. Why? Because independents and Democrats. Would you consider voting for Christie?
No, I would not.
Well, I would not, but I would listen to him.
Would you vote for him? I'm saying, would you consider?
Listen to him.
Would you listen?
I'm not going to listen to these other bozos. Yeah. I would at least listen to
Christie. Would you like to have him on our show?
Yeah, sure.
Wouldn't you enjoy having a conversation with him? Would you like to have some idiot like, do you want Rick Perry on our show? I don't. I could care less what
Michelle
that
Bachman.
Has to say. Michelle Bachman.
I'd like to throw in there that Chris Christie did veto same-sex marriage
in
New Jersey, and he said civil unions were appropriate, and he believed, I guess, separate but equal. Throw that in there.
We're not saying we're going to vote for him necessarily.
LaRon, people are saying we're going to hell.
That's true.
That's our point.
Back again. Choose.
But the whole point at CPAC is that their message to each other and outward, is that they've looked at it and they're not going to change.
Yeah, I want Rob Portman on the show.
They're not.
Because I want him to explain some of... I want him to explain how he's not in the Senate in order to get the most for himself.
I would actually like to talk to Rob Portman's son. Let's take the political aspect out of the story. I would just be interested to see what it was like to have a father in a position of power who, you know, had a long history of anti-gay voting record, and here you were, his son. What must like that be to come out to him, and what were y'all discussions like? I'd like to talk to him.
You're right.
Get him on, David.
If you can find out how we can get in touch with him.
Okay.
The Atlantic story ends with this. Portman's op-ed makes him sound like someone who, faced with a moral dilemma, has muddled through as best he can with the least thought and effort possible. The fact is, though, that most of us, most of the time, are more like Rob Portman than we are like, say, Mildred Loving, the woman whose Supreme Court case overturned laws against interracial marriage. The marriage equality movement, like any moral movement, has been built by activists with great struggle and courage, but its success is measured by the fact that it has framed the issues in question such that even the selfish and small-minded can, given a little push by their families, make the right choices. Portman is not an inspiring figure, but there is something inspiring in realizing that the movement has reached a point where even someone like him finds it easier to make the right choice than the wrong one.
Very eloquently.
I think that sums it up.
Yeah, that really does sum it up. I agree with that.
So, good job, Patty.
I'm extending his microcosm to the entirety of the conservative movement. That's my position, is that none of them have empathy, because this is what it takes, time and again.
And Laurent, it takes both sides, I think, in the gay movement. He does need to be welcomed and not just slapped in the face.
Maybe both.
I think it really does take both, yeah. Because otherwise he could then turn around real easily and say, that's what kind of reaction I get? Okay, I'm voting against. At least I have my base.
And you know, let's see what he does now. Let's see if he puts his money where his mouth is.
You know, when you were joking, Patty, yeah, I'd like to see him in a gay pride parade as the Grand Marshal. I would too.
Mm-hmm.
And that would say to me, you know what? I really was wrong on those issues. But that's what he needs to say. Not just, gee, my son needs these things, so I was wrong, and now I can get mine.
And he doesn't even mention all the rest of the LGBT people that he's affected with his votes and his leadership against us. Mm-hmm. You know, there's another kind of thing kind of gone viral in recent days about a dad who left a note for his son.
Oh, this is so cute. Do you have the whole letter?
I have the whole letter.
Okay.
So the note says, Nate, this is from a guy.
And it's a handwritten note also, which I really like.
It's a handwritten note. It says, Nate, I overheard your phone conversation with Mike last night about your plans to come out to me, and the only thing I need you to plan is to bring home orange juice and bread after school. We are out like you now. I've known you were gay since you were 6. I've loved you since you were born. Dad, P.S. Your mom and I think you and Mike make a cute couple.
I think that's such a sweet letter.
It's just
a fantastic letter.
It really is. Short and to the point.
And the way parents should be treating their children. It doesn't matter what you are. It's, you're my kid. You know, a number of years ago, I was at my college 10-year reunion. And
a number of years ago.
A number of years ago. it was five, 6 years ago.
We don't know how big that number is. I'm sure it's double digits.
And one person who lived in the suite right across from me, we were talking about, you know, are you married now? Are you this? Are you that? And he said, yeah, I'm married and I have a son. And he was almost reluctant to talk about his son. And he said, well, he's Down syndrome. And we said, and talked a little bit, and he said, but he's my son, and I really love him. What a great father.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, 5 years later, and I still remember just the way he just looked at us and said, but he's my son, and I really love him. That's what a parent is. No matter what, you know, if you're not prepared to have a gay kid, a Down syndrome kid, a whatever kid, when you were pregnant with Gabrielle, Laurent, you had no guarantees.
None.
I mean, the biggest problem is she looks like Danny, not like you. Even though biologically she's yours. No matter what, she was your kid, and you were going to love her. That's what being a parent is.
And you know what? Interestingly enough, when you're going through surrogacy, I guess everybody's different, but you talk about possibilities. Possibility of child coming out like this, like defective or, you know, some type of medical conditions.
Any kind of a...
But, you know, and I think whether you're, if you're planning a child, you should talk about that from get-go. You know, you still, we're still going
to
love the child no matter...
To be a parent,
that's my point. That's my point.
Which gay people do and other people don't. We need
right.
to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and that ignorant slut, LaRon Landis. And we'll be back with more right after this.
Want to find out about upcoming events at KNON? Want to see pictures from past events or need information about the station? Then you need to like the official KNON Facebook page. It's easy to find. Just go to facebook.com/KNON893. It's the KNON 89.3 FM station-produced page for Facebook. It's the easiest way to keep up with what's going on here at KNON. Like us and share with your friends today. That's facebook.com/KNON893. Accept no substitutions.
This is William, your videographer for the KNON talk shows. You can watch Workers Beat by going to KNON.org website. Click on schedules to the left side of your screen. Choose Workers Beat's page. Scroll to the bottom of the page, then choose your favorite show to watch or download. This show will be ready for viewing by lunchtime Tuesday. Have a great day.
This is a random person, and I don't listen to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM Dallas.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with late Patty Fink, and LaRon is with us with the entertainment report.
Well, real quick, we were just posed with the question.
Go ahead.
If our child was born, GOP, would he accept it?
And absolutely, Republican.
Republican.
You're born Republican. I think it's a choice.
Yeah. So, yes, Gabrielle, if you grow up to be a Republican, I still will love you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, all right. This year marks the 10th year anniversary for Ellen's talk show, and it will not be the last. It has been renewed for another 4 years. Yay. God, it does not seem like it's been 10 years.
I know.
The show has earned an impressive total of 38 Daytime Emmy Awards, 13 People's Choice Awards, 14 Choice Awards, including the Comedian Choice for a fourth consecutive year, and 2 Genesis Awards and a GLAAD Media Award for Outstanding Talk Show. So good for her. After several potential NFL draft picks were claimed, they were asked about their sexual orientation during their interview process. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is urging NFL to investigate because such questions are not only against NFL policy, it is also illegal in the state of New York. Now, the NFL spokesman said they're already investigating, and next month they're going to have a meeting with the GLAAD and the Play Project and the Athlete Ally to talk about LGBT issues. So good for whether these allegations are true or not. Good for the NFL at least saying, hey, we're going to investigate it. They are having meetings.
And they need some training.
They need some training.
You can, I don't know.
Is that legal anywhere to ask somebody their sexual orientation?
If they have an ENDA.
Huh, okay.
If they have a non-discrimination.
So that would be legal here in Texas.
It is legal to ask.
Do you like girls?
Are you gay? Yes, I am. Okay, we're firing you.
Yeah,
yes, that
yes.
is perfectly legal here.
Or, you know, are you gay? Yes. We don't need you. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not hiring you.
Yeah, we're not hiring you. So.
One follow-up. Right before the break, a caller called in with some comments about primarily the GOP, the Republican Party, noting that the bigotry is really demagogism, that they're not an entity who does anything for the people, that the GOP is not empathetic toward anyone for years, that it's their lack of empathy that is their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to agree with that. I think that's absolutely true. It is their identity. So, you know, and another thought, that the two-party system has a problem. When one of the parties, it's not relevant. You know, but some people seem to forget that we had an election.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But there was a different kind of election this week, too. and it was the conclave.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about that. We have a new pope.
Yes. A new papa.
Il papa es nuevo.
And as Aaron says, his name is Frank Uno. Pope Francis I. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Who's a Jesuit?
What do you think about it?
I think it's thrilling that they went to South America, and looked outside of Europe basically,
mm-hmm.
For the first time ever, and I think that's exciting. And certainly the Catholic faith is super prevalent in South America, and South and Central and North America as well. So that's a great move. It's a smart move, but it's, you know. I mean, I thought they did it pretty quickly, especially with so many rumblings that there were lots of divisions within the church hierarchy and all of this. It looked like a show of unity to me.
So, Laurent, being out of touch with everything, how are you disagreeing with Patty?
You know, I don't really have much thought about the Catholic Church and/or the Pope, but I will. I hope.
Well, and that's the thing. None of the three of us are Catholic.
No.
So it doesn't.
But my husband is.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it does kind of, and
yes.
I live with somebody who is also, and all three of us live with somebody.
My partner is recovering Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
All three of us live with somebody who's Catholic.
Yeah.
But it doesn't affect us directly.
When we're doing crossword puzzles, and I say you're in charge of Catholic popes, and she's like, "No, I don't. I'm not in charge of Catholic. She's in charge of colors. She's in charge of lots of different things when we do crossword puzzles." But you know, she rejects the Pope thing because she doesn't know a lot about it.
I mean, as far as GLBT issues, I don't expect anything to change with this Pope. If he did, that would be a pleasantly surprised. But what I hope is that he will do something in terms of all of the abuse that's going on in the church.
They made a big deal about he has empathy for people with AIDS. That would be a first for a Pope.
Oh, empathy again.
Well, and when I say empathy, I mean has done things to help care for people with AIDS.
Because he understands that they're sick and suffering.
However, all of the pictures of him with people with AIDS that have been released this week is him caring for children with AIDS, not gay people with AIDS. So I think that distinction needs to be there. I know one thing about him, and I'm mixed and medium on this guy. I think on same-sex marriage, when what's her name, Cristina? What's the president of Argentina? What's her name? Kirchner. She helped lead the fight for same-sex marriage, and this is the guy that led the fight against it. And I like one of the quotes about him from him is that women are not capable of leading because something, and they have no chance of winning. Guess what, Pope? She won. Argentina has same-sex marriage.
And I just like to add, the countries that recognize marriage equality around the world are Canada, Mexico, Colombia, Spain, South Africa, Belgium, Netherlands, France, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Portugal, Spain, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Iceland, and the Pope's own Argentina.
Argentina. And,
yes.
And next door to Argentina right now, Uruguay is working on a marriage equality bill.
That's a lot of marriage equality in South America.
It is. It really, in a place that you think of as being very Catholic, very conservative Catholic, and actually, I guess, is not the conservative part you can take out of there.
And, you know, I think maybe, too, there's a lot of empathy, perhaps, among Catholics in South America.
I think there's a lot of empathy among Catholics at a lot of places, right here at home.
Do you remember when we had Sister Jeanine Gramick on? One of the things that we talked about with her is why do Catholics, in every state in the United States that has had marriage equality, they have a large Catholic population, every single one so far. And why is that? When the church officially has an anti-gay, anti-marriage position, it's because the Catholic Church's message is family, 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 family. And when you have a family, you tend to have somebody who's gay in your family, and Catholics get the message. They've learned the lessons that are taught by the church. It's the leaders of the church that don't understand the message that they're teaching.
But I know Catholics who don't have gay kids, and they get it.
Because they understand you love your family, no matter what.
And even if my family is not like your family, I get that you love your family, and I love your family too.
That's a Catholic message.
It's chock full of empathy.
It is.
Just, you know, there's lots of it in there.
Empathy, love. You just love your family. Acceptance. You accept people in your family. All that is very Catholic. Okay, so while he isn't good on gay issues, I think he's going to be better than any previous pope on AIDS issues. I know the Jewish community in Argentina loves this guy. When the Jewish Community Center in Argentina in Buenos Aires was blown up, this is the guy who came and was helping people heal. He was wonderful with the Jewish community. The Jewish community really likes him, which is a good contrast to the Nazi pope that we just got rid of, who probably not so empathetic.
The Emeritus Benedict.
Yeah. So this guy, you know, it's one of those things we always say, you know, you hate one group, you hate another group, you hate another. This is a guy who accepts a group that's not traditional for the Catholic Church to accept. I think there's going to be some learning and acceptance from this guy. I'm hope, especially because he's Jesuit. Jesuits have a history of education, knowledge,
thinking. Jesuits have a history of thinking and a philosophy of thinking.
So I think better. But here's where I think he can make the most difference. We have a horrible, really right-wing conservative body of cardinals right now. They were all appointed, every single one, by this pope and John Paul. There are none that are left from back when Pope John was pope, or Pope Paul was pope. This guy may not do much to advance gay rights himself, except in his appointments. I think a Jesuit is going to appoint more open-minded thinking people like himself, and his appointments, which is where the next pope will come from, his appointments are going to make a difference in the Catholic Church. So am I saying it's going to be fast? No, they're going to be slow, so slow, but he'll appoint more liberal cardinals. What the cardinals say, the cardinal who covers this area has a lot to say about what the local parishes can do. It means that the local parishes can be more welcoming to gays and lesbians. The church right here on Oak Lawn used to allow Dignity to meet at their church till the bishop threw them out.
Right.
That's a policy that could change. You get rid of the cardinal, you get rid of the bishop, then the local parish can say, you know, okay, I understand what the position is, but you're welcome in our church.
Well, and this pope is 76 years old.
He's a short-termer.
He is a short-termer, but honestly, as popes go, he is fairly young, I think, and pretty vibrant. I mean, he's physically able.
He's not the oldest pope.
I think he's a little more spry than Benedict, but Benedict was getting around. I was having trouble with this whole sign six story.
At the point at which Benedict was appointed, he was the oldest pope in history on the date of appointment.
Yeah.
So... but this one also, in his 70s, John Paul was in his 50s, I believe, when he was appointed. So that's a young pope.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is my my fifth pope since I've been alive.
Congratulations.
We've had four conclaves since I've been around. Probably only just, what, two for you, Laurent?
So, Laurent, are you agreeing with this, or are you disagreeing? How are you, what are you hearing from your Catholic part of your family?
I agree. He echoes pretty much the same thing you two have.
I'm sure you were going to disagree with us just because
he's so extreme.
I'm so extreme. But you know, hey, I am the conservative. I'm the only one who's on the show who's married.
That's true.
And I'm the only one on the show who got married before I had a kid.
Well, we're going to get married when we can get married in Texas and have it be recognized. So
okay.
So there.
This week, Stonewall Democrats of Texas announced several honorees at their upcoming conclave.
in Austin on the weekend of August 6th. 5th, 6th, 6th.
April. April 6th, yes.
It was an A month.
Longtime Dallas Democrat and activist Erin Moore. I don't know if any of you know her.
No.
Yeah, well, Erin used to be a co-host of this show.
Oh, that Erin Moore. Okay.
She's going to receive the Buck Massey Legacy of Leadership Award for her work. And Buck Massey was one of the original hosts of this show with Bill Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And the award has been named after him.
And my lovely, lovely partner.
And your partner.
Who, by the way, tomorrow is St. Paddy's Day, and Erin, which means Ireland. You know, we have a great day tomorrow.
You do.
Yeah. Great combination for name day.
Anyway, Erin is getting the Buck Massey Award. Tell her congratulations.
Yeah. I shall.
That really
Thank
is
you.
An honor. She's being honored for having been on the National Platform Committee last year and really shaping the way same-sex marriage got into the National Democratic Platform. I believe still that that's one of the things that helped Obama win. And isn't that an interesting... 10 years ago, would we ever say, yeah, the president's going to come out for same-sex marriage and he's going to win on that.
Right.
But I do think... I think even people who don't like Obama and don't like that position, they were, I think they were, wow, this guy is honest and says what he believes. I really don't think anybody can accuse him of pandering because nobody perceived that to be a winning position.
No.
Well, and I've been sort of hammering the people that I knew in the administration to push him to tap our allies. If we would just tap our allies and give them something to do and recognize that they're there, then, you know, this would it would be the biggest thing he could do. And actually, I think that's what happened, was that he said, I'm for it. I'm an ally. You know, or be one, too. And, you know, suddenly all these people, I mean, like the Democratic Convention in the Texas Democratic State Convention in Houston, on which Erin served on the platform committee as well, you know, that was an overwhelm. I cried because we had so much support. I had no idea if you just, like, mention it, that all these people would stand up with us.
You know, that's one of
and
those points.
It was just amazing
that's
to
wonderful.
Me.
Wonderful.
Do you know when I had that experience? When Anise Parker, when it was announced that she won, she's on stage. I was down in Houston. She's on stage. And she embraced her partner.
When she won the first time or
when
the second
time? When she won the first time. When she won the first time, and she embraced her partner. And everybody who was in that room who was gay was in tears. But there was such an outpouring. When she embraced her partner, there was such an outpouring and cheers from that room. It was, wow. And I was looking around being the reporter. It was all the straight people who were cheering. Because the gay people
were crying.
They were in tears. And it's one of those moments where look at the support that we have.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea of the level of what this award is, the other person receiving the award is State Representative Garnett Coleman. He's going to receive the Lone Star Equality Award for his championing LGBT rights in the legislature over the years.
And he is just a wonderful... just beyond wonderful guy.
Yeah.
I've gotten to know him better over the years.
Again, somebody that we need to have on our show.
Absolutely.
By phone.
Absolutely.
That
man is full of empathy. He's chock full. He's giving it away. He's a tremendous ally.
Right. It didn't take what can I get for me
right.
to get Garnett Coleman.
And he was doing it long ago when very few bills, when we were still fighting the bad bills. He was still slogging through introducing these great bills
well,
for us.
When Harriet Earhart was voted out of the... She wasn't voted out. When she couldn't...
Was redistricted out.
She was redistricted
Glenn Maxey and several others.
So when she was redistricted out, what Garnett Coleman did was he picked up her equality and education bills that she was that she had been introducing. He picked up right there for her. We are coming to the end of our show, and next week I think our guest is Rabbi Steve Fish. He'll be talking about the holiday season and all kinds of other equality issues there. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.